Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
The wait is finally over. Football's back. You might not be at the game this year, but you can still be in on the action on Bet Online.
Yeah, dude, I'm going to make some big bets. Patrick Mahomes is going to win the MVP again. Or do you think maybe Russell Wilson?
Woo-hoo. Russell Wilson, maybe Josh Allen? I mean, he's kind of balling out right now.
P. Mahomes.
Okay. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any other place online. And there's always the online casino as well. It never closes, Benny.
Well, you know what I'm going to do then? Head to betonline.ag today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Again, that's betonline.ag and sign up today.
BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
You're listening to BSI, the podcast, with Benny Philhaber,
Thousand Zone,
and Arco Para.
Enjoy!
Right back. Tinnerholm.
Dare we say Tinnerholm. Proud of the way we reacted, you know, in the culture that we've kind of created here, and we hope to kind of continue that and live by kind of what we've said, you know.
Welcome back, season 6, episode 35. I don't know where we are anymore, Sal. We took a month break, dude.
What we're doing with our lives.
It's felt like a year to me.
Yeah.
It has. It really has.
You just won't let the podcast die. Slow death. We're all just living our lives, and you just had to come out and let the old and force
us
back.
I'm pretty convinced that after we told everybody that we'd be back in October, if it wasn't for me texting the group, it would have gone way past October before anyone would have said anything about the podcast.
Bro,
we were using the thread as like a fantasy football comment thread and an Aaron Jones trade.
I just can't believe how many things are happening in my life right now. That's why, like, it's you're going to be the one that's going to have to push this thing along, dude.
Yeah, I'm okay with that, as long as, you know, and I think so. The fans will appreciate that. The fans will appreciate the effort that I'm putting in.
That's fair. You do put a lot of effort in.
Like, I will give you credit. There's not much you put effort into it, but this is one of those things that you do. So
that's good. So, to update the fans a little bit, and I don't know, you know, who's listening live. Looks like there's 6 of them, 6 patrons. So welcome, guys. We love you guys. Benny, why don't you give a little update on what you've been doing, how UCLA is, you know, it's my old stomping grounds, your old stomping grounds. How's coaching life been? Let's hear it.
Man, it's been fun. A lot of fun. I think, I've been going to UCLA 4 times a week now, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. We have, you know, we're still on COVID schedules, so there's certain things that we still can't do, limited contact, but hopefully moving in the right direction here. You know, football is going to be having a season, so hopefully that trickle down effect comes to us and we can kind of start having some more contact. So it's been crazy, man. I mean, I haven't been back there in 15 years, or, you know, I've been there, but in terms of with the team and you know what it was like 15 years ago. So that's a big change. Being a coach is a big learning curve for me. So it's been about a month and a week maybe since I've been there, and it's been cool. But I mean, I learn a little bit every day. The guys have been cool. I like the guys that are there. It's a good squad. There's still guys coming in that are trying to, you know, come from Europe that weren't able to get here in time. So we're still missing a couple pieces, but it's been pretty exciting. And I mean, other than that, I've been doing schoolwork, back to school, trying to graduate through SNHU online.
Oh, okay.
SNHU.
Okay.
So trying to get the degree, getting the paper.
I got some questions about UCLA real quick. So yeah, what type of assistant coach are you? Are you like that friendly, like friends with everybody on the team, or are you just crushing these kids every day?
Bro, I'm trying to figure it out. No, I haven't. So I feel like I'm definitely trying to like get on the good side of all the guys.
Okay.
I feel like that's my role. I'm the second assistant coach, right? Okay. So Matt Taylor is the first assistant, and we got Ryan Jordan as the head coach, and we got a Goldie coach to be the volunteer.
Okay.
Juan Cervantes. So
Juan's still there?
Yeah. So I'm more like the guy that's trying to get to know everybody, be Mr. Nice Guy. But you know me, you know, like I see the game a certain way, and if I see something, I want to let them know, but I'm just trying to gain their trust. And so it's exciting, man. I mean, honestly, the guys are really, it's a good team. So it's easy to get along with guys. They've got good attitudes. So there's no one that you're like, oh man, this is going to be a guy that's tough to work with. Everybody's is positive. So
yeah,
when there's no game, Sal, you know how it is, right? It's a little bit easier too. So
yeah,
I'm excited for when the games start in the springtime. But as of right now, I'm just trying to, you know, put my foot in the door and get to know these guys and be a guy that they can, you know, depend on for advice and soccer opinions.
Isn't that kind of, you know, in a weird way, COVID made an easier transition for you to be able to learn and to, like, you know, mesh with the group, figure out just the rules of college soccer in general, how you want to coach. You know, I think that's actually been one of the benefits to COVID, I'm sure. Are you kind of guy, are you going to like imprint your own style, obviously, but are you going to take like the things you've learned from Bob, Peter, your Derby County coach?
I had two at Derby County. Okay.
You know what I mean? So obviously you learn things along the ways that you take from all coaches, but like, how much do you think of your pie chart will be from, you know, what you've gathered from others as opposed to what you want to do yourself?
I think that there'll be a massive percentage that I get from other coaches in terms of like training things, like what kind of things you can utilize to get what you want. And then in terms of like pure tactics, how you want the team to play, I think that'll be more like 50-50 in terms of, you know, what a Bob does, what a Peter does. I mean, those two coaches probably had the most influence on me. But then obviously I'm playing for Bob, I'm playing for Peter. There's times where you're like, well, I see it a different way. And those would be the times where I kind of, you know, use just my knowledge of the game and how I see it to kind of take it in that direction. But I mean, those two guys, obviously I'll take a lot from, especially in terms of just like training exercises, things that, I mean, I used to like, I used to think had a big impact on me and the team in a positive way. So I'll take those kind of things and really utilize them.
Nice. Nice. What kind of a philosophy are we going to see out of Westwood next year? Like playing style?
Dude, if I had to compare
this year,
it,
hopefully.
Well, this year, no, this year there's no way there's going to be a season, but I mean, we're obviously working on that stuff. But if I were to compare it to, you know, most closely resemble a team in MLS, and you know, you're probably not going to pick like a Cincinnati, right? Because who wants to play like Cincinnati? So
like Vancouver Whitecaps or something.
Yeah, and we're not going to play, you know, full 11 guys behind the ball trying to counter. So, I mean, honestly, it's probably most similar to LAFC. Maybe not so much this year because there's been, you know, some deficiencies there this year, but in terms of how they played last year, and that's not to say, you know, UCLA is going to be playing at that high of a level.
Yeah.
But in terms of building out of the back, trying to create opportunities through, you know, overloading left and right side, finding balls on top of the box and making good runs, all those things. And I think the one thing that UCLA wasn't able to do as much last year was, one, be aggressive on top of the box, and two, when we lost the ball, we were pretty
counter
all over the place. Yeah, we were a bit vulnerable on the counterattack. And so there's guys in this year that, you know, new guys that we brought in, guys that were injured. Obviously, the guys that were there, there's been another year to kind of train under what Ryan Jordan's tried to do. So the hope is that in terms of defensively, we'll have a much better idea of, you know, how to protect our goal.
Does at the Western still have eligibility?
No, but I do. I have two more years. So I've been wondering, I've been like, Ryan, I have two more years. I left.
I think
after
you only have
year.
To give back all the money you made in your career. And then
I asked Matt Taylor that, I'm like, if I were to choose to return all my monies, would, would I be allowed to play?
Worth it. Let me tell you.
I don't think anybody wants me after they saw me in training the other day.
Yeah. Have you been in training? I'm sure you've hopped in.
Yeah. I've been hopping
still
in.
Got it.
Sometimes, Sal, when it's like, when it's small spaces.
Okay. 5v2, yeah, obviously, something like that.
Yeah, but in college, it's like 12v2.
Yeah,
it's like it's just like one big
you guys,
circle.
You
like
guys
this.
Go around the center circle and hold hands.
You, all you do is just like the back heel to the next guy around you, and it just keeps going around.
Just pass it into space. Someone will be there.
But what's interesting, in my opinion, is they haven't even seen your best quality, and that's going to be when you start recruiting, Benny. When you go on these recruiting trips, dude, you're going to get all these kids to come to UCLA because the way you finagle trades in fantasy football, I mean, that's going to be like your
dude, I stink at fantasy football. What are you talking about?
Nah. Ike's another one, man. Wow. We don't need to talk about it, but no, guys.
Ike's team's ridiculous.
Ike, you're a busy GM. You're a busy GM. I'll say that.
Ike's got his time right now. He's got time, man.
I got to limit some things, but yeah, that's one of the things I can invest in.
All right, on to Ike. So, Ike, let's hear a little bit about your life, but also a lot about the Black Players for Change update. I know they just built some fields in Newark, New Jersey, which I've driven through a few times. Talk about that.
Yeah, so obviously I've had to, you know, somewhat, I'm still obviously part of the board, but I've had to, you know, focus on health. And so I've been in and out, but Justin Morrow has been an unbelievable executive director for us. Unbelievable guy, class, quality, just a downright great human being. And so, I mean, we had and a friend of the pod as well. You know, he's been able to, you know, steer us in such great directions, and we're filling up the infrastructure really well, creating partnerships with, you know, a lot of people who want to see the change, believe in change and equality. Obviously we built the mini pitch in Newark in partnership with U.S. Soccer Foundation and Musco Lighting, and we're going to have 12 total or 12 more in hometowns of players from the BPC. And want to put them in predominantly, minority communities. And so,
right, quick question: are you guys partnering with MLS teams to build them? Because I saw the Red Bulls logo on that one, or was that a separate field, or how does that work?
So that was a separate field, but I think every MLS team, you know, we've, and that part of our BPC is we've had meetings with, you know, CSOs, owners even. And so, you know, every team is, you know, we've encouraged and we've created a sounding board even, encouraging owners to be involved, ways to be involved. And a lot of these organizations would want to do things on their own. And so it's all kind of, you know, some overlap. But there are some times that, you know, they need direction from us and recommendations. And, you know, we have a lot of recommendations to give and constructive criticism. We've been doing a lot. And like I said, Justin has been unbelievable at creating we're only a few months into our organization and creating such a wealth of assets and a wealth of partnerships and relationships with companies, organizations, all of these things. And
other leagues as well, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's been connected with people in Europe, you know, if, you know, there's been interest of Black players wanting to create something similar in EPL. And so it's been a lot to deal with, and I don't know how he's doing it all.
Yeah.
Obviously he's got help from a lot of us, but, you know, it's been tremendous to see the growth in such a short amount of time. And things keep coming by the day, and, you know, we will, hopefully, you know, if you follow us on social media, BPC MLS handles, you'll see the things that we're doing and we've been doing. The voting initiative that we've rolled out, trying to get every MLS player who's registered or able to be registered to vote, eligible and registered. And we're putting out PSAs. And so we're just doing little things to help keep the momentum going and really create a change that we want.
Nice. I know my brother was proud to have the logo.
He partook in it, right, Sal?
Yeah, he was the logo maker for the Black Players Change. So
yeah, so it's a funny story. Obviously, we've done a lot of outsourcing for some things, and we've tried to do everything, black representation wise, right? So one of the few things that we weren't able to do early on was like create a logo, like, you know what I mean? And so I was like, okay. We want to promote, obviously, Black excellence in a lot of ways. But I'm like, okay, but this is time crunch. We need to figure out something. I'm like, who's the guy? Okay, Nino.
Yeah.
And so Nino sent like 15 different options. And at first, you know, we thought it was just going to be placeholders. But like, you know, a lot of the guys really ended up liking it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we've rolled it out and it's been great. So, I mean, you know, in this podcast, want to help and in ways and what's up?
Ike, with the t-shirts, wasn't it Warren Cravell that did something with the t-shirts as well?
Yeah. So the MLS, is the Black Lives Matter that we all wear at MLS or MLS is back and still wearing.
Right.
Warren Cravell did that. So we've wanted to do, you know, things that were created by whether it be our Black players or, you know, outsourcing things from, you know, Black individuals in this country who, you know, have, you know, maybe, you know, not gotten the opportunity to show their work. And so, you know, we've done things like that that have been unbelievable.
Nice. Mike, I'm curious if you want to share anything that you've been going through, obviously, that you've been injured, and do you want to share anything or nothing or whatever?
Yeah, I'll just say week by week, you know, just looking at that process and journey of getting better. And so that's really all there is to it. You know, obviously, I'm sure people really want to know what's going on, but, you know, that's, you know, personal at the moment, eventually maybe. But, you know, I'm just looking at the, you know, trying not to get caught up on the day to day and look at it from a progression standpoint. So,
quick question, Ike. So Nino just gave me a fan question. He just said, did the BPC throw in any money to make that happen, like for the field, or was a lot of it like sponsors to you guys, or how did that work?
Yeah, so a lot of that were all sponsors.
All sponsors.
A lot of people, yeah, who were, and we obviously, we've created funds, we're creating funds. We're going to be, you know, 501c3, and, you know, but it takes time to get there. And so while we have funds possibly coming in the future, new future, you know, we've been working with people who really wanted to make change, and a lot of sponsors who are, you know, willing to, you know, put some skin in the game and provide resources for us.
Nice. Look who's home.
Oh my gosh.
What's up, boys?
Yeah, I forgot to tell you the most important part, Sal, when you were talking about UCLA was the fact that I'm living with this guy who's a best friend of mine from high school in our fantasy league, Jeff Bruns. And I get to sleep on the mattress right behind this couch that you guys can't even see right now. So,
dude, there's so many questions I have for him living with you. I'd love to hear it.
The best part about it is Michelle Steele just raising the kids like you were never there.
Just raising the children, dude. Hopefully they don't forget about me, but most likely they will. So I'll have to reintroduce myself as their father at one point. Rough life, Sal.
All right, getting on to what I've been up to. So,
that's out. You've been right in the limelight these last few.
Our team has, months. Yeah. Our team definitely has. So yeah. As many of you have, you know, may have heard, against the LA Galaxy, second to last game of the season, we're in a playoff hunt, and a racial slur was used against one of our players. It was not heard by anyone on our bench. It was heard by, I believe, the fourth referee and maybe a few others. I still don't know, you know, who heard it and who didn't. But basically, there was a few people that let a lot of people down by not saying anything at the moment and kind of letting the game, you know, go on. And our organization,
at what point was this in the game?
71st minute.
Okay.
In a 1-0 game, so, you know, and had we won that game,
it you guys were really, winning, right? 1-0.
Yeah, we were winning 1-0, and had we won that game, it would have been a lot different for playoffs. But
right,
eventually, the player on our team that was called the racial slur got the red card, and then they scored after the red card in the 94th minute or something to make it 1-1. So. So anyways, our organization had said after the game that had we heard our player called that, we would have walked off the field in that moment and not partaken in that. We put out a statement saying that exact thing, that we would have walked off the field and we don't want to be recognized and just please remove the point from us. But USL said they couldn't remove the point because the game had already been played and so on. So, with all that being said, and kind of we were going through a rough week as a team, we were actually debating whether or not to play the next game against Phoenix, you know, when we were planning on doing some sort of protest and, you know, like somewhat, you know, the Milwaukee Bucks did to, in order to really make a strong statement is to really just not play. Right. So, we weren't going to play in our last game. And we basically talked to everybody on the team and we really just took a vote and, we decided to move forward and to play the game. And crazy enough, you know, something happens again in the last game of the season, right? Colin Martin, an openly gay player on our team who I, you know, really well, played with you in Minnesota, was called a homophobic slur in the middle of I think it was like towards the end of the first half, but could have been a little bit throughout towards the end. So I don't know exactly when it was, but again, I wasn't on the field for all these. I was nursing a groin injury. So this one I was actually at the game in the stands watching. So there was a lot of confusion. Our player got the red card because he was telling the referee, hey, he's calling me a gay slur, a homophobic slur, like, you know, and because Colin said the word gay, the referee misheard him and gave him the red card. So our players were going nuts. Colin ran to the fourth ref, explained the situation. The referee rescinded it. There was more talked about. I'm sure you guys have all seen the video of the confrontation with Landon and their coach.
Rick Shantz.
Yeah, so we go into halftime, and at that point, you know, I walk down from the stands and go to the locker room because I know there's going to be a lot of discussion. And yeah, Colin was actually at the time one of the guys that, you know, wanted to keep playing. And I think part of that was he doesn't want it to be like about him and didn't want, you know, our playoff hopes to die because of something that he was called. And a lot of the players were kind of like, well, we'll do whatever Colin wants to do. You know, Colin wanted to keep playing. We were still kind of going back and forth.
Were you in the locker room, Sal?
Yeah. So I
went down there
and then I was just kind of observing, really. I didn't say much. So the players were walking back onto the field. At that time, our owner walked up and spoke with Landon and basically said, like, we're not going to stand for this. You know, let's give them a chance to basically make it right. Let's talk to the referees. Let's talk to them and explain what happened and see if they're going to, you know, whether it be sub them out or give them a red card or whatever. And so Landon kind of gave the opportunities to the referees. The referee said, I'm sorry, I didn't hear it, so I can't. Their coach refused to sub them out. So at that point, Landon said, we're done. And we knelt, walked off the field, and it was a pretty, you know, powerful statement, I think, from us. And credit to like our leaders and our organization, because you guys probably know there's tons of owners and tons of coaches that may have swept something like this under the rug and said, you know, this is part of the game and, you know, let's kick their ass. Let's make this, about, you know, let's turn it on them and let's show them or whatever, you know what I mean? And so credit to, you know, the organization for kind of stepping in and, you know, not being hypocritical, because we had said, you know, we would have walked off the field, had we heard it, you know, last game. And so we did hear it now. And so, yeah, credit to them, because, you know, as players, we're going to follow the leadership within our organization. And so for the owner to come down, the president to come down, and for Landon and the coaching staff to all like kind of put it in perspective and to really think about it and to walk away was pretty big. So we'll get into more about it, because in a few weeks we're going to have Colin Martin join us. And so not this upcoming Wednesday, but the next one after that. And we can kind of dive into that whole topic. But for me, it was pretty proud, you know, moment for our organization to step up. And yeah, it got a lot of press for what we did. And it's never about like ruining a player's, you know, reputation for the one who said it. You know, it's almost, you know, and we've talked about it as a club and as an organization too. Like our president Warren Smith, who's a great guy, he's proposing something to USL Now where they actually have to retain the player that says the slur, and they have to put him through training and certain educational programs to have him learn and understand, you know, the process of what he was really saying and you know, why it's so hateful and whatnot. So which I think is good. And they would, you know, fine the player, and they would obviously suspend him more than what the policy is now. I think a 6-game suspension, no matter kind of what you say, you know, racial or homophobic slur. So they want to increase that to more like, you know, 15 or 17 games. And then from there, also educate the player, because it's not necessarily about ruining the player's life, because, you know, there's a lot of Twitter people out there that will go the opposite way and give the poor guy death threats and whatnot, and that's not the answer either. So yeah, I just think you know, the proposal that we're going to come up with as a club, that we're going to propose to USL, will be a good thing, and hopefully that comes to fruition one day.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead, Ike, you want to say something?
Yeah, I've only got a couple of things. Yeah, obviously, we'll let Colin speak when he gets here.
Yeah.
But knowing Colin and a Wake Forest guy, you know, shout out Demon Deacons. I've known Colin for a bit, and
nobody still knows what Demon Deacons is. But
okay. No, I do know what it is now. I do. But you know, when it happened, I thought to myself, I know Colin, and I know he's gonna not make it about himself. I just knew that. Like, I knew it happened. I'm like, he just doesn't want to make it about himself.
Yeah,
but it's bigger than that. It's bigger than, you know, him. It's way bigger than the game. And so I'm glad that you guys took the steps that you did. And that,
and I think he realized that at halftime. You know what I mean? Like he.
I saw his interview on CNN, and that he, yeah. I mean, he pretty much said so. He's like, I didn't want to do it at first because, you know, it wasn't about me. But then after he got the support of his teammates in the organization, he's like, I know that it was the right thing to do because it's a bigger issue than what happened on the field.
Yeah, for sure. And then I saw, obviously, this is the second point, which is literally irrelevant, but just obviously how Phoenix was then rewarded the win. I'm thinking to myself, you did the whole investigation. You did all of these things. Mm-hmm. It came out that he said it. You gave him the suspension, and you're still giving the team the reward of 3 points. You know what I mean? Like, for me, yeah. It's like, it's no different than if you're a player and you two-foot a guy in the back. It's a red card. Like, you're putting your team at risk. You're hurting your own team.
And I think it was a bigger statement even, you know, we're winning 3-1
in a
playoff hunt. We're still in it at the time. Obviously, it turns out Galaxy won their game, so it wouldn't have mattered. But at that time, Galaxy, I think, is tied with OC, which is what we needed to happen. So the fact that we made such a strong statement, and obviously you guys know the work the teams put in to get to the playoffs, and for us to understand that it was, you know, bigger than that and bigger than the game of soccer, so...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of the moments that in your first year's organization, it's a defining moment that you guys have built already. And that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And special. It's just poor from the USL that's like the result that ends up happening. And it's like, you know, it's frustrating, I'm sure.
Yeah, I hope and I think, you know, one, you know, soon, hopefully as early as next season, that changes for sure.
I'll go the other way though, as you, Ike, and I'll say that the fact that they forfeited and then USL essentially by the rules had to give the 3 points to Phoenix even makes it a bigger statement. Because if they were to say, oh, well, the guy made this mistake, so we're going to take it away from you guys and give it to the loyal. Now San Diego got 3 points and they forfeited. It's almost like, well, then they got, you know, they got the win essentially. Now they actually lost the win, which they had in their hands. I almost feel like it plays almost like a bigger...
For sure, absolutely.
It's like a bigger moment, you know, to like forego the 3 points for the competitive aspect of the game and to stick to the humanity aspect of life. So
yeah, I mean, for like I said, for San Diego, it's unbelievable. For the USL, I'm like, eh. You know, but like, again, the game is irrelevant in the grand scheme of things of what happened. So that was just, you know, I thought that when it happened, I'm like, just rewarding, rewarding the negative of, anyways.
For sure. And so how you said it was a defining moment. Like, it's, you know, we're pretty proud of the way we reacted, you know, in the culture that we've kind of created here. And we hope to kind of continue that and live by kind of what we've said, you know, since day one.
So I was going to add that I think it's a really good stance in terms of not outing the one guy and trying to make it all about, you know, the one guy that said the wrong thing at the wrong time. And he can come up with any excuse, right? Maybe he is racist or homophobic, or maybe he's not, maybe he said it in the heat of the moment, which we could all argue in a spectrum, we could say is terribly wrong to it's wrong, but like you can understand it. Like everybody's gonna have a different opinion. In my opinion, I think that by utilizing it and making it a moment of learning and potentially even what's the word I'm looking for here? I don't know what the guy's name was, but the guy that insulted, you know, Colin that said the word that shouldn't be said, he learns from it. He goes through, like you said, some kind of course to understand, okay, this is the reason why this is not okay, why it's it hurts so much to an openly gay man and, you know, all the people in that community. And then you kind of almost have a situation where maybe even Colin comes to the point where like now he's like, look, you made a bad thing. You said a bad thing. You understand it. You learn from it. You're no longer, you know, have that in your brain now.
Yeah.
I can accept you and I can accept your apologies sort of thing. I think that statement is so much stronger than just like, hey, don't ever say that. And if you do say it, then you're out of the game. You're out of the team. Yeah. You're never heard from again, because I feel like there's got to be some kind of reconciliation with like the people that are verbally saying these things and maybe don't really know what they're saying or don't know what it means or whatever. Ignorant to the fact of what they're really, you know, saying and how it makes other people feel. And so like, I think I applaud you guys for doing that. I think it's an even bigger statement. And honestly, I'll say this from everything that I saw on the YouTube clip, the thing that's most disappointing to me, and look, I'm not the person that's feeling it on my skin. I've had this conversation with Ike before with racial abuse. I've talked to him about, I'm a Jewish person, but I've never really felt, you know, prejudiced or felt in any way like somebody's treating me differently because I'm Jewish. And so I don't feel it that way, but it was so sad to see, you know, Rick Chance not understand the gravity of the situation, you know, because at that point, it's not an emotional game. You're stopped. You have time to process the information, and you should realize like, this isn't what our team's about, what I want. And so that was the more disappointing aspect to me. And I look, I've never said anything racist or homophobic, but I've probably said stupid stuff in games before. You know, I probably called someone ugly before. Like that, I probably shouldn't call someone ugly or stupid or dumb or whatever. And that's not the same thing, but it's still something that shouldn't be said. And so I can almost understand saying something terrible in the heat of the moment.
Yeah. But unfortunately, the coach
shouldn't be like that. The coach has to be the bigger person at that point. He has to be the parent to the, you know, the teacher.
And unfortunately, there's some coaches, you know this, that get so caught up in the game, and they lose focus on, you know, really what's right and what's wrong. And it's similar to like when coaches will be like thinking every call goes against them or every call is this or every call is that. And they're not really focused on, you know, the right things. They're almost blinded by the moment.
Agreed.
Credit to him, at least after he did reach out to Colin and said what he did was wrong and that he's going to be a better man. And he's going to go through training and whatnot.
Who reached out to Colin?
Rick Chance. So the coach reached out to Colin, and Colin accepted his apology. And so, like you kind of said, it's a learning moment, and no one wants to ruin people's lives from, you know, a 30-second moment of saying the wrong thing. But we do need to be better, and we do need to get that out of our game, right?
Yeah, so. Agreed. I mean, not only our game, dude. I think our
society, bro.
Yeah.
Society.
Yeah.
It's our world.
I'll say one last thing. It's like, I think I told you guys this, but, you know, you can have your context. You could say whatever it is behind your closed doors if with your friends and yada, yada, yada. But you better know the original meaning of the word you're saying. And don't be surprised when your context with your boys or whatever it is taking out of what you think context when you say it to someone else.
Yeah.
Or, you know, when someone else who's not in that circle hears it, because the original meaning of whatever word you say, you know,
absolutely. I mean, as trainers always say, be responsible. You're responsible for what you put into your own body. And it's the same thing. You got to know what you're saying, right? It's you're responsible for everything that comes out of your mouth, regardless of your background, regardless of where right. you grew up. That's, so you better know.
Regardless of the heat of the moment. Like yeah. that, all that for me, that's why I've never really bought into it, because I've been pissed.
Yeah.
And it's never once crossed my mind to say something like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So like, you know, whatever, we can go all day with this, but
yeah,
we can,
we'll dive deeper in a few weeks when Colin comes on. But
we're gonna get Colin on in a couple of weeks then.
Yeah, so not this upcoming, not a week from today, but the weekend after that. So I think that's gonna be the 21st. We'll have Colin.
Nice. That'll be exciting.
Yeah.
We recently had Matt Beasley on the show, and we talked about he and longtime teammate Setsunovic's new venture with State Soccer. They have teamed up with a talented group to build a brand that represents soccer in America the way it deserves.
Yeah, and Matt sent us some gear last week, and honestly, we were blown away by the quality. These guys are truly building something special for the sport and its culture. So naturally, since BSI and States align so well, we are excited to announce they are now our official sponsor.
So this episode is brought to you by States, an athletic lifestyle brand building a revolution of American sport. Their goal is to be a leading lifestyle brand for soccer in America. They're building a brand that truly represents the beautiful game.
Yeah, and now they are offering 15% off with the discount code BSI to our listeners as part of the sponsorship.
Go check out their website at states.soccer. There's no .com. It's simply states.soccer. And their Instagram is definitely worth a follow, at statesoccer. Go check them out.
So moving on, let's talk about a little bit about the MLS, okay? I haven't really been keeping up with the MLS, if I'm being 100% honest. I don't know how much, Benny, you've had time to watch, but
I've been watching plenty, dude. I'm watching Orlando Atlanta right now.
Oh, great.
It's but there's just so many games. Like, there how is. Do you
it's great like, for it's, me though. The, yeah, the thing yeah. is, so the games are usually on Saturdays and Wednesdays, which are the only 2 days that I have to really do stuff. So I do some schoolwork on Wednesday morning because that's my day off, and then Wednesday afternoon, like today, I'll watch a lot of games, and then Saturday is a little bit of, you know, studying as well, but mixed in with some MLS. So yeah.
It's give me like your give me your MLS best 11.
Both best 11.
Because I don't even know if I can name 11 MLS players at this point.
Stop it.
So
all right, MLS best 11. So
can it be a joint thing, or do we all have to do it?
Yeah, let's do a joint.
We can do a joint.
Let's like do a consensus one.
Okay.
Who's your goalie then?
Oof. Honestly, I'll give you my how about I'll give you three, then you narrow it down to two, and then Sal picks the winner, and then we'll go.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
Just give me the three and I'll
all right.
I shouldn't be the one picking the winner, but yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, either way, I'm going with Gayesi from Orlando City. I'm going with Matt Turner from New England.
You're not gonna put Andre Blake in there? That's who I originally was going to put.
All right, I'll throw in Andre Blake. I wasn't going to put him in. He had a good MLS's back tournament, but you know my thoughts with Andre. He's like, to be fair, I haven't watched too much Philly games, so that's the difficulty. But
I will say, Benny, I agree with your perception on him, but he's balling out this whole
has
year.
Has he? Okay, yeah. So let's throw Andre Blake in there. I haven't seen enough, so I'll take
it. Shout out Stephen Fry. You're still balling out there. I know. I see you.
Yeah,
out there.
The old man, dude. The old man from Berkeley.
Yeah, I see you, Steph. Sorry, that's we're going to throw you in the top four just because you deserve top a little four. Respect. You might be in fourth, but hey, you deserve it.
We can't throw Tim in there this year, can we?
No. Timmy, just because he hates on us. And BSI is why he can't.
But secretly, he listens to every episode.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. But yeah, Timmy's not in there. I would say it's between Matt Turner and Andre Blake right now.
Okay. All right, we'll go Andre Blake for the sake of me picking the winner, I guess.
By the way, Gayesi though, nice.
He's been good.
He's been good. I like him. Although he's not playing. Brian Rowe's playing. He probably got called in for the Peruvian national team, I'm guessing. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Room fell off a little bit for me.
He is.
Shout out to Kenny Cooper, who can't wait for this episode. He wrote us on social media.
Cooper, dude, this guy.
Cooper.
Right back. Tinnerholm.
Dare we say Tinnerholm?
Tinnerholm is this guy is.
He's been scoring. He's been producing.
He's been doing everything. He's been in all phases of the games.
Now that you're not playing at MLS, do you like him a little bit more now?
I mean, if I had just seen what I like, the clips I've seen this year, I'd be like, this dude's a baller.
But, I mean, he is. Without those clips.
Yes. But how's he doing, like, on the defensive side?
How's he doing, like in life?
No, like, on the defensive side.
Trying to find
side,
any dirt on this guy.
How's NYCFC's defense?
I think they've been okay.
Yeah, they've been better. They've been
They fine. Started off slow, but since like the end of MLS's back term.
Yeah. When they had their struggles, he wasn't the reason. I'll put it like that. Okay.
And I'll tell you what, he's an assist and goal machine from there.
He is, dude.
Except he's a wind. It's kind of funny to see how many guys get winded up by him. Like when I watch these games, I'm like, how do you let this guy keep punking you? I don't understand.
It's because of his face.
Okay, moving on. Hey, you just said something about calling people ugly, and now you're just like,
that's what I'm saying, dude. You can't say that. Like, pretty, like, you can't say that stuff. That's just,
anyways,
nice.
All center back, center Mensah, no doubt center there. Back, I don't know who the other center back would
Mensah,
be.
Mensah, dude, you and your infatuation with the Columbus Crew.
What? Bro, they've given up like 5 goals this year.
Are you going to tell me Magny's in your best 11 too?
No, he got hurt. If he wasn't hurt, he would have been.
Did he win already goal of the year for you though?
Have you seen a better goal yet?
I don't think so.
So then, so far he has a goal of the year.
All right, center back. So you're going with Mensah. Let me see who I throw in there. It's easier when I look at the teams and then I can remember the player. So hold up. I'm throwing the teams on here.
Who's having a surprising defensive year?
So Seattle's doing well, but honestly, I don't think I can throw any Seattle defenders. I mean, at least not center backs.
It'd be Andrade if you were going to. He's been the
best.
Yeah,
I mean, but did you
see? Has been pretty good too, though.
Did you see the penalty he committed?
No, the penalty that the ref made up, you mean? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I saw
where
that.
Cavallini fouled him and then
Cavallini, the tank, pushed this man over and got it. Yeah. I was like, this is, I can't do it with the ref sometimes.
It was shocking. Trying to think.
I mean, do you throw in like Janssen, who's been pretty good for Orlando? Or like, you know, or Mark McKenzie's been solid, but the other, I mean, even the Revolution center backs have been good. Like, so I feel like there's not another guy that's running away with it.
There's
like,
no Walker's Ike Opara been solid. This year. There's no Ike Opara.
There's no Ike. There's only Aja.
the year, this is the year I couldn't participate. No.
Hey, every single Minnesota game that I watch, every single one, there's a mention of Ike Opara.
I don't
not
care what
playing.
You say. Left back. Left
who was
back.
The other center back that we talked? Mark McKenzie?
Yeah, he's in there. Okay. I don't have a surefire number two, to be honest.
Okay.
Right now.
What a boring position, right?
Center back? Left back.
There's no one fun to talk about at center back. All right. Left back. Who's having a good year at left back?
Can I put Richie Larea at left back?
Oh, yeah, dude.
Like
Richie's a baller. I love Richie.
Yeah.
Throw him at left back. I'm with you there.
Okay. I don't know if he plays right back, plays left back, plays on the wing, but for the sake of this argument, he's playing left back.
Who's all playing right. left back right now for Seattle? It's not Jovan, is it? I know they just signed Brad Smith again.
Yeah, Nuhu had been there for a bit. And
I'm not putting Nuhu on there. He's crazy, bro. He's unreliable. Sometimes he does some crazy stuff that you're like, nah, not throwing him in there.
All right. Center mid now.
Who do we decide for left back? Larea?
I'm doing Richie there. Just because.
All right. Center mid?
Yeah.
Center mid, Diego Chara is my defensive midfielder forever and for always.
Yeah? You're putting him there? Best 11?
Yes, easily. Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh, guys. I'm watching the Atlanta game, and they almost just scored an own goal. Or Orlando. Your jinx, bro. Janssen almost just scored an incredible own goal. He tried to pass it back from the top of the box. It almost snuck in. Incredible.
Holding mid at the six.
I already told you. I got Chara. You can't pick anybody else.
Okay, fine. Chara wins. Then are you putting – where's Pozuelo playing? Is he the 10 in there? Okay,
yeah,
so he's in there then.
Okay.
Yeah.
God, the center mids in this league are pretty good. It's, like, tough to eliminate.
Yeah.
like a Nico Ladero. Like, how do you eliminate him?
Yeah.
I think Jordan Morris is on this best 11, though.
Jordan Morris is in my top three MVP candidates.
Yeah.
So
really?
Yeah. He's in there. He won't win, but he's in there.
I think you got to put Ladero and Morris in the 11.
Yeah, I think so too.
That's
so you got 100%. So you got Chara, Ladero, you can pick an 8, and then you got Jordan Morris on the left. Who's the other center midfielder besides Ladero and Chara? Dude, I'm gonna throw it in just for you, Ike.
Aaron Herrera?
Eric Williamson.
Two Portland guys though?
Dude,
but like he's not on the best 11, but he's
nice this year.
If I'm starting a team with his age, ability, talent, like I want him on my squad. But like
not
it's the same with Aaron Herrera. Aaron Herrera is another guy for me. Nah, I bought in on
some of your like thought processes are just like a little bit off though.
I'm done with this. Right wing, you can put Rossi. Rossi's in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though he really plays left wing, but yeah.
Yeah, but whatever. You can flip whatever.
Him and Jordan.
But we're just going best 11 via like
right.
Get your vote.
Well, I'm just throwing a 4-3-3. But who do we decide? So in the middle then? Chara?
8.
Chara, Ladero.
Nagby had the
hamstring. Nagby was, yeah, but how many games has he missed? 2 or 3?
He's on like
what about Zalarayan?
Okay.
Same with him. It's the same. Like they if they both had been.
Yeah.
I'm really curious who you guys are gonna pick as the center forward though.
Dude, honestly, like I said, I haven't watched enough, but I do know
Chicharito.
Oh, from my 9, you said?
Comeback player of the year, you got to maybe go Bradley Wright Phillips, though.
The 9, I don't know who you choose. Rui Diaz, Jossi.
Those are my 2.
Incredibly, I think you got Jossi.
I think it's those 2. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you can go anyone else.
What about DK, though, in Orlando? I like him.
I saw that.
He's not top 11 because he's
Is he Bright DK's cousin? Yeah. Or
I think it's his
brother.
His brother.
Yeah, it's like he's like 10 years younger or something like that.
Yeah, Bright, yeah.
Oh, wait, we forgot.
Remember when Bright scored a goal with his shoe in Kansas City?
We were bringing it back. We
Benny, forgot. Do you remember that? When Bright DK scored a goal with his shoe in Toronto?
Yeah, he kicked it from 25 yards out. Wait, we forgot Sal's favorite player, who Sal doesn't think is a great player.
Oh, yeah.
Chris Mueller, bro.
I never said he wasn't a good player. But I compared...
You compare.
Yeah.
You said he's a hard worker and like
Don't get me going on the Chris Mueller right now.
Oh,
I will say, since I said that though, I don't know if you sent or Sasha sent him a text or something. This dude's been on fire, man.
He just came out of the game. That's why I remembered. He's got to be. I mean, he just doesn't make it because Diego Rossi's the leading goal scorer in the league, and Jordan Morris is. I mean. I don't know what he's got in terms of points, but it's got to be pretty up there, and they're the best team in the
league.
Is
Chris Mueller a poor man's Jordan Morris?
I don't think they're the same type of player.
They're not the same player. Yeah, I was like,
no?
I
don't
know. I can think of someone maybe that Chris Mueller reminds me of, but I don't know. I think he's got something, and he's got a nose for goal as well from the wing, so he just adds that bit to it, but he's young as well, so he's dynamic. He's got a pretty good touch.
I'm usually pretty good at comparing guys. Maybe like a...
Wait, who's the other 8?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I like there's a lot of guys coming to my head like Brad Ring. Alex Ring.
Alex Ring. Dude, he got 3 assists last game. I don't even know how.
Did he?
Yeah. I'll be honest, though. The Eastern Conference, I don't watch as much because I tend to watch a lot of Sporting Kansas City games, a lot of LAFC games. This week, I'll be able to watch Colorado and what is it, LAFC or Sporting?
Colorado doesn't play anymore because they got postponed again tonight.
They're playing tonight, aren't they?
No, they got postponed.
No.
Yeah. They're going to have to play like 18 games in 12 days, so good luck to them.
And LAFC then too, and Sporting because they both missed their games against Colorado.
It's this season is anyways, I won't keep going.
All right, I'm throwing Rui Diaz as my striker, even though I think I'll throw Jossi. I think he's had a better season, even though I think Rui Diaz is a better player.
So well, Rui Diaz is leaving for the national team, so it's like it's a tough season to judge so many players, man.
Let's move on because Benny's got a call in 15 minutes. But
oh, yeah, I got work, bro.
Yeah. So, but we got one more topic to discuss, and this was another fan question. If the U.S. qualifier started today, who's your starting 11 for the USA?
Oh boy.
Like okay, let me preface by saying this.
Okay.
Matt Turner.
Whoa. Anyways, again, it's not that I don't care about the national team. It's just hard to be excited about the national team during a time like this. Like,
yeah, fair enough.
If anything, I'm excited about like the potential of the players that we have in you know the next couple few years. Like, I think that this is the new, hopefully, a golden generation of American talent.
Yeah,
and like I'm excited to see what they do and what they can do.
I kind of think it is too. Like,
yeah, but like in this very exact moment, yeah. I have no interest in like figuring out who is on the national team best 11 kind of thing. Like,
yeah,
we're doing it for the fans.
Like, that's what
no. I'm just saying, like in real life,
I agree.
But like we can do this exercise, and I'll give you what I think.
Okay,
but
okay.
So just little clip about what you guys just said. Agreed that in terms of talent, golden generation, I still am skeptical, optimistic, but skeptical in the sense that we can bring it all together and put all these mm-hmm. talents together and make it be a good package, especially with how little anybody's been playing.
But Benny, at any point in U.S. soccer history, have we had so many players playing on top teams and getting important minutes?
It's not even close.
Not even close.
Yeah. Like that, I mean,
we got guys at Chelsea, we got guys at Juventus, we got guys at Barcelona.
Yeah. So.
Like, yeah, I mean, like, how can you not be excited in terms of that aspect? But, yeah. like, getting ready for their November friendlies is like, there's no excitement, like, right. for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, starting 11. I think there's some that you can just, like, tick off right now, right? So you got Pulisic if healthy, you got McKennie if healthy. You've got
Tyler Adams if healthy.
You got Gio.
We don't have to say if healthy, but just assume as long as it's not a long term injury.
I mean, I'm assuming Gio Reyna, even though he's never played a game with the national team, right?
I would start him. If you're the coach, would you start him?
I mean,
if I was the coach, would I start him? No.
No. Well, there you go. So you wouldn't put him in.
I wouldn't start him in the very first game of like a competitive qualifier right now. I'd probably have him on the bench if he's never played with anybody.
I would.
But I think he will, and that's probably what fans want to hear. So okay. So and then you have, you probably start Zach Steffen, right? He's a second at Man City right now.
At right back.
Sergiño Dest, yeah. What else? Like, who are the center backs?
The questions are the center backs, I guess the left back and the forward.
See, like, I would still start Ike Opara at center back, but again, well, if healthy. But
there's a couple asterisks maybe with that one. But
I mean, who do you start? Aaron Long?
No.
At this point, I mean.
Like, yeah, well, do you start Aaron Long? Start
Tim Ream?
No, sorry. When I said no to Aaron Long, it was because I feel for Aaron Long. Like, you know he wants to be abroad. You can just tell, like, so it's tough to watch him play for the Red Bull because he saw all of his partners, Mario and Lawrence, all these guys going abroad. And, you know, he probably wanted the same. And so I actually just feel – that was more of a no, like, I'm sad for him.
Yeah.
I mean, it was Brooks and Long, like Chris Richards in the future, hopefully, like all these kind of guys. EPB, I haven't given up hope on you. I know you're probably listening.
EPB.
You know what I mean? So right now, I think I go Brooks and Long or, you know, someone that's been there, even walk. Like, you just got to go with experience if you're talking about like a game tomorrow.
Yeah.
But like long term,
are you playing like
Richards and all these other guys are in?
Are you playing like a Conrad De La Fuente? Are you putting him on the bench?
No, I mean,
I don't know him at all yet.
Are you like, starting Jordan Morris?
So, but like, you can't play him over Christian.
Unless you play him up top.
Yeah, that's fair.
Play Jordan Morris up top and put Christian on the left. Who do you put on the right? Gio? Or do you put him in the middle?
I would put Gio as the 10. personally.
So then behind him, you put Tyler and Weston?
Yeah.
So who are you playing at right? Right wing.
Right wing.
I'm assuming you're playing like a 4-3-3 or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, okay, so
you just go off of four, maybe Tyler Boyd. I don't know how he's doing.
Do you play Jordan Morris outright and start Jossie up top?
He's just so much better.
I wouldn't start Jossie up top.
I think George is so much better on the left or up top, even than right wing.
I think with the players
you
that
go
you
with
have,
Josie and a game tomorrow, do you go just Josie?
Well, yeah. If it's tomorrow, Josie's got to be on the field.
Yeah.
So then you start Josie, and you put Jordan's on the bench, or do you put Jordan on the right, or Christian on the right? You could do that.
Then we got to talk about. But I think Christian's so much better at the left. Like, so if you talk about Christian and Jordan, let's say Christian's a 10, Jordan's whatever, 7. Like, you got to take the aggregate here. Like, is Christian a 4 on the right and Jordan a 3 on the right? Like, you have to just look at it in that perspective. And you got to look at your opponent as well.
I would put Jordan on the right and Christian on the left. Josie up top. Gio is the 10. Holding McKinney, Adams, Dest on the right. Stefan at goal. And then the three in the back are still a question mark for me, but the other three.
I mean, this is like formationally. I think we kind of agree all on the players to some extent, but I almost formationally like what would be the best formation with the players that you have, because the U.S. has typically had most success with the 4-4-2 in general. And then I think with some of the players that you have, maybe even like a 4-3-1-2. So you let Gio be the one. You put two strikers, as long as you have two outside backs that can get up and down the field constantly. I think it just depends. But I think in terms of the 11 that we talked about, that, I mean, that's pretty close.
Unless you're playing Brazil or France. And
yeah, if you're playing in the World Cup and you're playing better teams, then maybe you have to, you know, take a little bit into consideration as well. But
yeah, those ones are tough because there's so many factors. Yeah. Form, health, opponent, tournament.
We've done this a lot, but I'm just, I was curious. Fans are always curious, right, about this topic. So
I think in the general sense, though, you play the guys that have the talent up top, the guys that can be game changers. And then you, like what Ike said, you want some experience in the back, guys that can just deal with some, because a lot of times with the national team, you have, you know, those 5 or 6 guys that defend. And obviously you want to defend as a team in terms of, especially when you're playing against better teams, but you want those game changers up top that can just create stuff.
How much do you go off of form, like current form? You know what I'm saying?
I think in terms of form, you want to bring guys in and maybe put them on the bench if they're not regulars, and then give them chances off the bench and still have kind of a good unit of 11 to 14 guys that are pretty much going to be there no matter what, even if the form dips a little bit. But from 14 to 18 or 14 to 23, you want to have guys that are in good form.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. All right. I think that's good for our welcome back parade that we just had.
Yeah, a little bit different, episode for us.
Yeah, it's been fun talking to you guys about something other than, you know, stupid fantasy football.
Yeah.
No, well, I just meant like our listeners are getting a different view of things.
That's true. And for us, though, man. I mean, we matter too, right? Not just the fans.
Yeah. I mean, like, you got to ease me back into this whole thing because, you know, every week I'm going
to
quit.
It's nice not having to prepare so much and just hopping on and, you know,
shooting the shit, baby.
Yeah, shoot the shit. All right. Well, that is all. We will have a guest next Wednesday. We don't know who yet. It's TBD. Weekend after that, we're going to have Colin Martin, and then we're going to go from there. So thanks, everybody, for joining us. I think we had on YouTube up to 17 people watching at one point from our Patreon account. So if you guys want to check us out live, we may be doing this every week thing. You know, it'll be fun for you guys. So, thanks for coming on, checking us out. And that's it. Anything else, guys?
Nah, that's all we got. Thanks for showing up. Good to see you guys again.
Always a pleasure. Although, if this gets released to the greater public, 17 really sounds like a terrible number.
All right. Yeah, that's true.
Maybe we can open it up to the general public, Sal.
I just meant
I'm assuming we're putting this on Spotify and all this for people to listen to. And right. it's a whopping number.
A separate clip of me saying 1700, and then we'll add that. All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, boys. See you.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.